From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Meeting with CEOs, President Jokowi says Indonesia is the right choice for investment. Communication and Informatics Minister Budi Aris Setiadi says common values cementing Indonesia-Vatican relations. U.S. and the Philippines sign landmark nuclear deal. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the IMF predicts that Indonesia's economy will grow 5% in 2023, and in 2024 it will grow 5.1%. This means investing in Indonesia is the right and promising choice. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo at the APEC CEO Summit in San Francisco on Thursday. The president then explained other reasons why it is good to invest in Indonesia.
Indonesia memiliki potensi yang besar, kekayaan sumber daya alam.
Indonesia has great potential, rich natural resources, a demographic bonus, a large market, maintain economic stability, maintain political stability, and most importantly, a strong commitment to creating a conducive and competitive investment climate.
Untuk menciptakan iklim investasi yang kondusif dan kompetitif.
President Joko Widodo also explained that the current priority sectors of the Indonesian government, including the downstream industry with the largest nickel reserves in the world, the energy transition with the potential of 3,600 gigawatts of new renewable energy, and development of IKN Nusantara Capital City, a smart city based on forest and nature. With these potentials, the president said that now is the right time to invest in Indonesia. Communication and Informatics Minister Budi Aris Setiadi said peace, humanity, inclusiveness and freedom are the common values shared by Indonesia and the Vatican, which drive them to continue to strengthen bilateral relations. Minister Budi said, according to the statement released in Jakarta on Thursday, the two states have been enjoying sustainable relations since the establishment of their diplomatic ties. Both parties also share similar values, namely peace, humanity, inclusiveness and freedom. He delivered the remarks while attending an event commemorating the 10th anniversary of the election of Pope Francis at the Embassy of the Vatican in Jakarta on Wednesday evening. According to Setiadi, the commemorative event served as an opportunity for both countries to further intensify their relations. To further enhance bilateral relations, President Joko Widodo has invited Pope Francis to visit the Southeast Asian country. The Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology on Thursday said that Georgetown University of the United States is planning to open a campus in Indonesia soon. The ministry's Acting Director General of Higher Education, Research and Technology, Professor Nizam, informed the collaboration is part of the government's efforts to bring world-class education to Indonesia and to bring national education on par with international standard. According to Nizam, besides Georgetown University, several other international universities, including Monash College, Deakin University, and Lancaster University, are planning to open branches in Indonesia. The opening of international university campuses could prevent Indonesia from losing foreign exchange due to the large number of Indonesian students studying abroad. an economist and research director of the Center of Reform on Economics, or CORE Indonesia, Peter Abdullah, said that Indonesian economy is continuing to grow positively amid the turmoil caused by global uncertainty. He told Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Thursday, this can be attributed to Indonesia's economic fundamentals, which have remained solid in supporting economic growth. The characteristic of the Indonesian economy, which relies more on domestic demand, provides scope for continued positive growth. According to Abdullah, global uncertainty has been going on for several years and will continue for the next few years. Indonesia is believed to be able to survive and continue to grow positively. Abdullah projected that the Indonesian economy will continue to grow positively in the range of 5%, with a relatively controlled inflation rate of 3-4%, with the rupiah exchange rate moving in the 15,000 rupiah to 16,000 rupiah per US dollar range. Let's move on to the international news, where the United States and the Philippines on Friday signed a landmark deal that would allow Washington to export nuclear technology and material to Manila, which is exploring the use of nuclear power to decarbonize and boost energy independence. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said in the signing ceremony of the sidelines of the APEC summit in San Francisco that the United States will be able to share equipment and material with the Philippines as they work to develop small modular reactor and other civilian nuclear energy infrastructure. U.S. Congress approval is needed for the deal, which will allow a peaceful transfer of nuclear material, equipment and information in adherence with non-proliferation requirements. The Philippines wants to tap nuclear power as a viable alternative baseload power source as it seeks to retire coal plants to help meet climate goals and boost energy security. The Southeast ASEAN nation is vulnerable to volatile global oil prices, seasonal power outage, and high electricity rates. Saudi Arabia's Oversight and Anti-Corruption Authority Nazaha and Russia's Public Prosecutions Service signed a memorandum of understanding on Thursday in Moscow to combat corruption and strengthen joint cooperation, Saudi press agency reported. Under the agreement signed by Nazaha President Mazin bin Ibrahim al-Kahmush and Russian Prosecutor General Igor Krasnov, the two sides will target cross-border corruption, exchange information and strengthen individual institutional capacity. Al-Kahmush visited Russia in response to an invitation by Krasnov to review procedures implemented by the Russian Public Prosecution Service in the fight against corruption. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on WHO condemns Israel's attack on Al-Shifa Hospital. Israel launched another attack on health facilities in Gaza. Last Wednesday, November the 15th, Israeli troops carried out attacks from the basement of several buildings in the Al-Shifa Hospital complex after first storming the hospital. Israel claims they stormed Al-Shifa Hospital because they believe there was a Hamas command headquarters under the hospital building. However, Hamas denies Israel's accusations and claims. Israel's attacks then received criticism from the international community, including the World Health Organization, WHO. World Health Organization Director Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus condemned the Israeli troops' raid on Al-Shifa Hospital in the Gaza Strip. According to him, this action was unacceptable. In a press conference in Geneva, Switzerland last Wednesday, Ghebreyesus emphasized that hospitals are not battlefields. Therefore, patients and medical staff at related hospitals must remain protected. Meanwhile, WHO representative in Palestine, Rick Peppercorn, said that currently WHO is exploring the possibility of evacuating patients and medical staff from Al-Shifa Hospital. However, this plan is certainly not easy because to carry out an evacuation, a safe route and also fuel for the ambulance are needed. Peppercorn said that currently there are 633 patients and around 500 medical staff at Al-Shifa Hospital. Apart from that, the hospital also accommodates around 4,000 Gaza residents who fled to seek refuge from Israeli attacks. The UN Security Council has passed a resolution calling for an urgent humanitarian pause across the Gaza Strip to allow aid deliveries and medical evacuations. This resolution was submitted by Malta's ambassador to the United Nations, Vanessa Frazier, to the UN Security Council on Wednesday. The resolution also calls for the unconditional release of prisoners held in Gaza. This decision was adopted with 12 votes in favor, 0 against, and 3 abstentions, namely Russia, the United States, and the United Kingdom. It is hoped that this resolution can save the people of Gaza from the Hamas-Israel conflict, which has claimed thousands of lives, injuries, and incalculable material losses. That was commentary.
Well, Isra, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Let's start it in history with November 17, 1927, when Des Alwi's birth date. Des Alwi Abu Bakar, better known as Des Alwi, is an Indonesian historian, diplomat, writer, and advocate. He was born in Banda Neira, Maluku on November 17, 1927. He is also known as the adopted son of Indonesian Vice President Muhammad Hatta and Indonesia's first Prime Minister Sultan Syahrir. During the Japanese colonization of Indonesia and the Indonesian War of Independence in 1940s. Des Alwi was a technician at several radio stations, including Voice of Free Indonesia, which is now RRI Voice of Indonesia. He was also part of the Indonesian delegation at the Roundtable Conference in The Hague, Netherlands, which resulted in the recognition of Indonesia's sovereignty by the Netherlands. At the end of his life, he wrote a number of historical books, especially regarding Banda Neira. Des Alwi passed away in Jakarta on November 12, 2010, at the age of 82 years. Let's move it on to November 17, 1941, when the celebration of the International Students' Day occurred. November 17 is celebrated as International Students' Day. The day was motivated by the Nazi attack on the Prague University during the Second World War. Students who opposed the Nazis for their rights of education were arrested. About 1,200 students were sent to concentration camps. During the demonstration, a student named Jan Opletal was shot by a Nazi German officer who occupied Czechoslovakia at that time. Jan Opletal died on November 11th. His funeral on November 15th led to anti-Nazi demonstration, which resulted in 8 students and professors being arrested. They were executed without trial on November 17, 1939. International Students' Day was first celebrated on November 17, 1941 in London. Initially, it was intended to commemorate students who died in the Second World War. Then November 17 is celebrated as International Students' Day to ensure that every child in the world has access to education. Last information in Today in History is from November 17, 1950, when Tenzin Gyatso is crowned as a head of state of Tibet. Tenzin Gyatso is known as an activist and human rights fighter from Tibet. He was born in Amdo, Tibet on July 6, 1935. Tenzin Gyatso is also the current 14th Dalai Lama. On November 17, 1950, Tenzin ascended the throne as head of the Tibetan state when the People's Republic of China's troops occupied Tibet.
So
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia-US steps up partnership into comprehensive strategic partnership. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and U.S. President Joe Biden in a meeting in Washington, D.C. on Monday agreed to step up two nations' partnership into Comprehensive Strategic Partnership, or CSP. Coordinating Minister for Economic Erlangga Hartarto, who accompanied President Joko Widodo in the meeting, conveyed in some of the upcoming CSP's trade cooperation is one of the focuses which, among many, will be through the renewal of Generalized System of Preferences, or GSP, for Indonesia. Quoted by Antara News Agency, Erlangga Hartarto in his statement conveyed a wider and inclusive market access through Indo-Pacific Economic Framework is also important for developing countries, including green subsidy use from Inflation Reduction Act. Meanwhile, in investment and development, Indonesia welcomed the interest of U.S. investors in Nusantara Capital City development. Indonesia also encouraged the investors to help realize some other strategic projects in Indonesia. In the meeting, Indonesia saw the importance of building a mutually beneficial partnership to overcome global challenges and encourage sustainable economic growth. Indonesia also appreciated the improving relations between the U.S. and China with the reopened strategic communication channel between the two. It was firmly stated that Indonesia and ASEAN will not let the Indo-Pacific become a proxy of the world powers. Indonesia also hoped there would be access for ASEAN to the U.S. market, especially through support for the ASEAN outlook on the Indo-Pacific implementation. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Mencoba untuk mendekat dekati dia. Bukan
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. For those of you who love water tourism, you can travel to the city of Bogor, West Java, Indonesia. The city, nicknamed the City of Rain, is located not far from the city of Jakarta. Moreover, this city is famous for the City of a Million Waterfalls, one of which is called Curug Jodoh Waterfall. Also known as Curug Country, this waterfall is located in Tanjung Sari District, Bogor Regency. The word Curug in Sundanese language means waterfall, while Jodoh in Indonesian means soulmate. So it is called Curug Jodoh because once there was a visitor who found it difficult to get a soulmate, but finally, he found his soulmate after bathing in this waterfall. To enter this destination, you are charged an entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiah or less than $1 per person. When you arrive at this waterfall, you can immediately enjoy the beautiful natural atmosphere. This waterfall has a typical wide waterfall with a rock structure and water that stretches horizontally like a screen, so it is very good for taking photos. Because of its beauty and uniqueness, this place is often sought after by photography enthusiasts. Apart from that, the view offered by Curug Jodoh is very different from other waterfalls because the water in this place doesn't fall freely but flows through terraces or steps. Listener, on a trip to Curug Jodoh, besides being able to enjoy the freshness of the waterfall, you can also swim, play in the water, or just sit and relax. You have to be careful because the rocks at this waterfall are quite slippery. You don't need to worry about facilities, as Jodoh Waterfall provides bathroom and restaurant. That's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Rasa cinta sampai
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's miscellany informs you about the United Nations that provides appreciation to Police Brigadier Renita Rismayanti, an Indonesian citizen, who was chosen as the best United Nations Female Police Officer 2023 on November 16, 2023. The award will be given on Sunday annual United Nations Police Force held at the headquarters of UN from November 13 to the 17th. Police Brigadier Rismayanti served as Officer Crime Database in the Integrated Stabilization Mission Multidimensional UN in the Central African Republic. In this role, Brigadier Pol Renita Rismayanti helped create the concept and develop a criminal database allows the UN police to map and analyze crime and disorder hotspots, which in turn helps the troops' state security to plan operations they are better at supporting local residents. Police Brigadier's innovation and efforts of Renita Rismayanti in the utilization of data in guard missions United Nations Peacekeeping and African Republic Police Middle, according to the Deputy Secretary General for Operation Peace, Jean-Pierre Lacroix, has given significant contribution in improving security for vulnerable communities, including women and girls. Brigadier Police Renita Rismayanti is an ideal example of participation and women's leadership in maintenance peace to face current challenges and the future. Brigadier Police Rismayanti said she felt lucky to be able to use the skill technology to improve security for communities throughout the Central African Republic. Brigadier Police Renita Rismayanti started her career at the National Police of the Republic of Indonesia as Public Information Officer in 2014. She also worked in the fields of training, administration, and logistics. The work and achievements of Brigadier Police Renita Rismayanti in utilizing police technology, which is generally dominated by men, becomes inspiration for women, especially female police officers in Indonesia and the world. Well, listener, that was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kata-kata manis darimu buatku melayang hingga terjatuh di pelukanmu. Seakan ini seperti mimpi, rasa nyamanmu yang takkan terganti. Namun akhirnya terjadi, tiba-tiba pergi kau sesuka hati tanpa pamit dan tak kembali. Cukup, cukup sudah, akulah yang salah memberikan hatiku. Tiba-tiba hilang, dirimu menghilang saat diriku mulai sayang. Bukan kau yang salah,
rasakan hangat dekapmu. Betapa indahnya saat-saat manis bersama. Dunia serasa hanya milik kita berdua. Seakan ini seperti mimpi. Rasa nyamanmu yang takkan terganti. Tapi apa yang terjadi? Tiba-tiba pergi kau sesuka hati. Tanpa pamit dan tak kembali. Cukup, cukup sudah. Akulah yang salah memberikan hatiku. Tiba-tiba hilang dirimu menghilang. Saat diriku
for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, in this episode of Pelangi Nada, we will listen to a traditional pop song from Banten province entitled Jereh Buguru, which means Kata Ibu Guru in the Javanese Serang language. This song, created by Ashahri Aliman, delivers a moral message and profound meaning about the students' morals, especially respect for the teachers. The song's lyrics also tell students to always be filial, obedient, and respectful to their parents and to obey in worship. Okay, listeners, this is Nadia Flasia Sumbi with Jereh Buguru from Banten Province. Enjoy!
Sing again.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ketika ku rasakan sudah ada ruang di hatiku yang kau sentuh, oh, dan ketika ku sadari sudah
of Indonesia.
Duga dia perjalanan, letih hatiku mengawal terombang ambing, buta arah tujuan, sempatku menyangka sanggup jalan sendiri tak ditemani.
Indonesia.
Kadang ada rasa rindu terbesit rona wajah.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.